The Sweet Bitter Experience, June 11-17. This week we study Revelation 10. In this chapter, having brought us down to the end of the hour, day, and month, and a year prediction, to August 11, 1840, God picks up his description of his true people. And I saw another mighty angel, Revelation 10:1, come down from heaven clothed with a cloud, a rainbow, the rainbow in Greek, was upon his head, and his face was as the sun shining in his strength, and his feet as pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. When he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voice. And when the seven thunders uttered their voice, I was about to write, and I heard a voice saying, seal up the things. Write them not. Now the seven thunders and lightnings, wherever they come, seem to declare the hour and day of Christ's coming. But it's not for us to know that. Now this vision of the angel that comes down from heaven parallels the vision given to Daniel in chapter 12 of Daniel. There he sees this being, who is none other than Christ, stand with one foot on the sea and one foot on the land to indicate the universality of his message, with a book open in his hand that Daniel saw was closed and sealed until the time of the end. He was clothed with the sun. His feet were as pillars of fire, indicating he had the right to possess. And he makes a proclamation that grew out of the book that was open. Now, the little book that was closed in Daniel 12 is the book of Daniel. Its prophecies were closed up and sealed, that is, they were not understood until the time of the end. And the time of the end follows the 1260-year period, 1798. Between 1798, 1844, and the end, that is, it's the 19th century onwards, we come to the time of the end. At that time, the book of Daniel is going to be opened. The seals are going to be broken, and men are going to run to and fro in its pages to understand what message it brings. And out of this message of Daniel, there came a declaration made by him that sounded like seven thunders. And the seven thunders declare the day and hour of Christ's coming. So we may expect to get a vague idea of when to expect Jesus to return from a study of Daniel. The book's opened. It's telling us that we're coming to the time of the end. It's telling us that we're coming to a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. That time we have reached. But John was forbidden to give the specific time of Christ coming. And the angel which I saw, verse 5, stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven. This is a gesture of taking an oath, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things therein, the earth and the things therein, the sea and the things therein, that there should be time no longer. This time is prophetic time. And this means that every prophetic time period has run its course when the angel makes this very solemn proclamation. The last major time prophecy ended in October 22, 1844. The 1260, 42 months, 3.5 years, ended in 1798. The 1290 ended in 1798. The 13, the hour, day, month, and a year ended in August 11, 1840. The 1335 day year prophecy ended in 1843. The 2300 ended in 1844. There are no longer prophetic time periods. They all ended by 1844. No more prophetic time periods after that. So Daniel's last time period focused on October 22, 1844. He wanted to understand. He prayed and begged to be elucidated, but the Lord told him, "You know enough. Rest. Your prophecy is going to speak at the time of the end, and the wise shall understand." So as we go through chapters 8 and 9 and now 10 in Jerusalem, in Revelation, we arrive at 1844, when the last prophetic period has reached its consummation. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, Revelation 10:7, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Now what is the mystery of God? Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The mystery of God is the mystery of the incarnation. And the mystery of the incarnation is that God should become a man in order to save man. And this is the gospel. The mystery of the incarnation is the mystery of salvation through the humanity of Christ. When the seventh angel begins to sound, verse 7, the mystery of God should be finished. That is the good news of salvation, power of God unto salvation, the power of the incarnation to save men has finished its work. Those who wish to be saved have made their decision. Those who refuse to be saved have made their decision. It's finished as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. Now this verse is very important as indicating that a time is coming in which probation will close. The gospel will not go on indefinitely making its gentle appeals to men and women and boys and girls to accept. There is coming a time when that work will be finished. Jesus Christ is the only being, the only human, to come on himself, who finishes jobs he's asked to do. You look at the number of times in the Bible in which he finishes. He's the author and finisher. On the cross he says it's finished. In Revelation 16 it's finished. In Revelation 20 it's finished. And the gospel is finished. He began it, and he will finish it, as he declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me, saying, Go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel that standeth upon the sea and upon the land. So John, taking a part in the vision, takes the book from the angel's hand. He asks him in verse 9, Give me the little book. And he said, Take it and eat it up. Now this taking and eating of a book is not unique to this story. In Ezekiel 1, 2, and 3, a roll of a book is handed to the prophet Ezekiel, and he is told to go and eat it. And he is warned that at first reading it will be sweet in his mouth. But when he digests it, it will be as bitter as gall to his soul. Jeremiah said, Thy word was found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Jesus said, You must take my flesh and drink my blood, and eat my flesh, rather, and drink my blood. For they are the words that I speak unto you. So the eating of a book means the reading, studying, digesting of the message of that book. So here the book of Daniel, that had been declared to Daniel in chapter 12 as being sealed, is now being declared by the same being who then declared it to be sealed as being open. And Daniel was told to close up the book and not think of it anymore. John is told to go and take this open book and eat it, study it, digest it, understand it. You will recollect that in Matthew 24:15, Jesus declared that whoso readeth what is spoken by Daniel the prophet, let him understand, as part of the signs of the end, which question was asked in the opening verses of Matthew 24. So now, as John, the representative of God's people who will be living at the time of 1844, when no more prophetic time periods would extend, was told to take the book and eat it, and was informed that it will make thy mouth sweet as honey, but thy belly shall be bitter. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, verse 10, and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Now what does this mean? A message on the first reading of Daniel was so exciting and sweet that it was as sweet as honey. But on reflection and digestion, it was bitter. What is that message connected with the end of prophetic time? Now, as we go back to the church following the end of the hour, day, month, and a year of Revelation 9, which brings us to August 1840, we see the people of God excitedly studying the book of Daniel. Their leader in North America is William Miller. His study of Daniel has led him to conclude that Christ will come in 1843. In fact, he is certain that Christ is coming on that date, and he has spread his certainty to his followers. When they come to 1843, the year is one of full of joy. Jesus is coming. They are excited. They are ready. And this is the fulfillment of Daniel's 1335 year prophecy. Blessed, happy, joyous, exhilarated are those who come to the end of the 1335 days. Their mouth was as sweet as honey. The message they were proclaiming was as sweet as honey. Blessed, happy, joyous, excited were all the students of Daniel's prophecy, the followers of William Miller, who expected Christ to come. Well, Christ didn't come in 1843. And then they discovered that their calculations had not been correct, that the 2300 days extended to 1844. But now the edge was off their joy. And as they concluded their studies of Daniel, that the 2300 year prophecy ended on the cleansing of the sanctuary day, 2300, which was October 22, 1844. They reached that point and passed that point, and their bellies were bitter. They had gone through the period of discouragement. Jesus Christ hadn't come. They thought that was the end of the world, but it was only the end of the last prophetic period. They thought that was an ecstatic moment to welcome their Lord. But that was not. because the angel told them in verse 11, "Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues." They had a worldwide message yet to proclaim. The 1840, 1843, 1844 milestones that they passed had brought ecstasy to their hearts, but bitterness on reflection. Their explanation had failed because they thought that the cleansing of the sanctuary was the second coming of Christ. And because of this, they were bitter. But as soon as they realized their bitterness, the word of the angel in verse 11 to their hearts was, "Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues." And so while we see the trumpet sounding to call this world to war and commotion and bloodshed and striving, intercession was continuing in heaven and would continue until the close of probation. While this was going on, God had a special message that was tied to the consummation of all prophetic time periods that hinged on October 22, 1844, that had in it the elements of sweet bitterness, an end and a beginning, the end of the prophetic periods and the beginning of a proclamation that would be worldwide and universal in its scope. And as we think of the implications of these prophecies, we will come next week to a study of Revelation 11, which picks up the story here and tells us the message they must proclaim.